So I pulled into this apartment complex where I was about to drop something off to a friend. I saw 8 cop cars out front of the neighborhood. So I'm like, they're following me.
Wow.
So I got paranoid, thought my house was bugged. I was like, Dad, I need to get out of here. Wow. He came up with a U-Haul, packed all my stuff in it, and I was gone.
That's crazy.
But guess what? It's crazier. I went back to it. Didn't scare me. And says, get on your knees. And I'm just like tired. I'm like, all right, is this almost over with? I'm like not caring.
Stop by grace. I know you listen to this right now. You probably saying, why am I here today? But I'm here to tell you that you were stopped by grace. Stop in your tracks. Stop to let you know that you were made to be somebody. Renew your mind. Know who you were called to be. Stop by grace. Listen.
Welcome to the Stop by Grace podcast. I'm your host, Richard A. Irvin, and I'm so happy to have y'all back once again. In today's episode, we will be interviewing one of my good friends. I mean, he has amazing testimony. Y'all going to be probably shocked at all the things he say, 100%. Like, he got so many things to say, but I told him I'm going to limit him to a couple minutes, not that long. We ain't going in depth that long, but I believe that a lot of people are going to be blessed by his testimony. And how far he came in the Lord. So without further ado, give it up for Nick Kesso. How you doing, Nick?
Doing good, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Yes. You might actually my first in-person guest. Yeah.
Milestone.
Yeah. So this is the start of a new thing. I'm glad I could be able to have people in here now. So
yeah.
My main thing when I do interviews, I usually go from where are you now, and then from where you used to be, and I'm gonna ask some questions in between that.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
So that's the flow of how we gonna do this. Okay. So like, where are you now? I mean, like, how long you been saved? How long you been sober?
Things like that. I've been sober 5 years now.
Okay.
Where I'm at though with like religion and church and all that's kind of those topics, I would say I was saved probably about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Because I started going to church and I was like, all right, it's really speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Like all the messages are making sense. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I had been serving and I was embarrassed. So I was like, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Mm. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is. Mm. And I'm serving and I don't know. I'm just like, you know, going with the flow. And I don't know. I was just like, Pastor Kenneth, one message like 6 months in, he goes, if you prayed that prayer first time today that you want Jesus, you admit that Jesus is your savior.
Uh-huh.
Put your hand up.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my hand up after I had been serving. I don't know if anybody was looking or not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're supposed to have head bowed. Yeah. But when there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder if anybody saw that. I wonder if Pastor Kenneth saw that.
Yeah.
And so that's right there when I was like, all right, I'm going to start taking things more serious. I got to be honest with myself.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with the church.
Yeah.
Because I'm here serving. I want, you know.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
Okay, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So, like, how did that whole journey start? Like, I know you got a long story.
Well, to make things short, my uncle was moving back to Delaware from Boston, and I was cutting his grass for him while he was waiting for his house to close.
Yeah.
And so that they could move from Massachusetts down here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was cutting his grass, and they move in and everything. I didn't see him for maybe a week or two. And he calls me on Saturday, and he goes, hey, what's up? And I was like, not much. Is this about the payment for the lawn cutting care? And he was just like, no. He's like, I just wanted to invite you to church.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I'll do that. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And, like, I went that Sunday, and it was about addiction.
Mmm. Wow.
And this is 5 years after I've been an addict. And the first one that I go to is about
addiction. That's crazy.
And my uncle was like, you're a VIP. Everyone starts clapping. So I isolated myself for about 3 years. Didn't talk to nobody. Didn't know how to have a conversation. my uncle took me under his wing, and he pushes me towards the VIP tent. He's like, yeah, we're gonna hook you up. And they're so nice. They were like, what's your name, and what brought you here today? And Pastor Kenneth is standing right at the VIP tent. He's standing right next to me. And my uncle goes, that's PK. He goes, you should tell him a little bit about your testimony. And I'm like, you know, very awkward. Couldn't even form sentences, basically. And I was just like, hi, Pastor Kenneth, I'm Nick Kessel. And he goes, nice to meet you. And I was like, your message really spoke to me today. And I was just like, I was an addict for 5 years. He's like, oh, wow. And he goes, and I go, I'm clean 5 years. I was an addict for 10 years. I was clean for five. And he was like, let's go. And I was just like, yeah, dude, like, you really, like, hit, like, home for me today. And I've only missed 2 Sundays in the past year. I've been just going to church serving every single Sunday. They give me a day off every now and then. But even on my days off, I go into church just at the later hour. So...
That's crazy. Yeah. So, like, what was in that message that really, like, hit home for you?
Just, like, him believing that people can change. Because one thing I learned was that I could change. But I believe how I was saved was a little bit out of this world kind of thing.
Well, I would say that nobody's transition or salvation knowing Jesus is never the same. Everybody's walk is different from people I know that got saved in church, got saved in funerals, got saved on a plane, in the hospital. You know, people get saved in different kind of ways. I believe that every person's salvation story is unique. So, yeah.
So, I'll go with how I got sober.
Okay.
So, I was under the influence, and I had a realization that I was on hard drugs and didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, something's got to change. And I'm playing my guitar and I'm like, hey, I used to be kind of good at this thing. And I hear the voice of Billy Ray.
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray Cyrus. And he's like, keep practicing or something. And I was like, what? And I was like, that makes no sense. And so, like, everything wore off. And I always said, like, oh, Billy Ray saved my life. And then as I went to church, they're like, no, God is working in the background. He's turning the knobs and everything. And I'm like, I eventually realized, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't really him.
No.
It was God.
Yes. Yeah,
bringing that to me because he knew what it would impact me, how it would affect me. And I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was a joke, and then I finally had the realization. And I was just like, "Oh,
yeah,
that's what that was." You know,
that's funny because I can recall a lot of times and people in my life personally as well too, where you don't really notice that that's God's hand in the midst of everything because you're not really aware of Him yourself personally.
Exactly,
but God knows you. That's the major thing to think about. We don't know God like that, but God knew you. The Bible says that He knows every single number of hair on your head.
Yeah.
So that's the major thing about how God, like, even though we don't acknowledge Him, He knows you. You might not know Him personally, but He knows you. And by us going to Christ, we have a personal relationship with Him so we can know Him personally as well, too. That's the major thing about that. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I got clean, well, after everything wore off, I called my dad and I changed my phone number, cut everybody off. Wow. And I was like, Dad, you need to help me out. I need to get all this stuff out of here because I started sleepwalking. And I would fall asleep in the living room and I would wake up in bed and not remember how I got there. And so I started kind of like getting like paranoid because I had like pills and stuff in my room. And I was like, what if I eat all those when I'm not even, like, coherent? So I was just like, I called my dad right away, and I was like, hey, I'm ready to get done with all this stuff. And I was like, just help. I was like, I need some help. And so, like, I cut my hair, shaved. I had dreads and a long beard. And I shaved my head, everything. My dad was like, all right, let's do it. And so from then on, I was sober. And I smoked cigarettes for 9 years. I woke up one morning. This was also a godsend type feeling, because I was addicted to cigarettes too, like most addicts usually are. And I wake up and I go and sit in the living room with my mom, and we're just watching TV, and 30 minutes goes by, 20, 30 minutes. And I go, I haven't smoked a cigarette. And how I did that. Okay. So she goes, oh, wait, you didn't. And I was like, I don't feel any withdrawal, nothing. Had no withdrawals. No withdrawals from the drugs, not the cigarettes, not the alcohol, none of it. None of it. It was on the spot, done with it.
Wow.
And then that right there is when I learned people can change.
Wow.
And it's so, I know I'm all over the place.
No, you're good.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think the main thing we also have to acknowledge is that people can change 100%. But I think it's only by God's grace and power that allows you to stay that way. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that I could see people that are in sobriety for a whole bunch of years, months, maybe this and that. But it never lasts if they don't have Jesus or God in the center of it, because he's the key source of our strength. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's definitely good. That's really good, like, to see that transition, though.
Yeah.
So, like, I know your story, like, pretty good. So I want you to talk about the times where you was under influence and how you encounter God in some situation, like with the Bible and with those kind of things. Because I think people need to hear that, like how God was still trying to speak to you.
Yes.
Even through your addiction.
It is wild. So when I really started to follow God's word was I ended up homeless, and I kind of bounced around on couches at friends' houses, and I was not making sense, so people were kind of like, this isn't the same guy I knew in high school. Like, something's going on with him. And so they were saying, like, I got hospitalized, and they said I was schizophrenic. And I was like, there's no way that this, like, my beliefs are fake. Mm-hmm. I was like, and everyone's telling me that, like, God isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, he is. Like, he's got to be. Mm-hmm. So I lived with an old family friend, mm-hmm. and I would read the Bible when they were all at work, and they noticed that I was like reading it, and I would quote stuff from it. And I called her my aunt, and I was just like, she goes, you can't look at that. You're not allowed to look at that. You can't look at the Bible. Like, if you do that, I'll kick you out of here. And then one day I'm sitting in their bedroom, 'cause I was living there, and they were at work, and their daughter was home with me. And she finds this little pocket Bible. It's my uncle's. And she throws it at me. And she goes, you might like this. And I was like, you're right. I love this. So I went outside and started reading it. And I'm looking at the words on the page. And all the letters are shifting as I'm looking at it. And, like, then, like, one word would pop up. And it would say, leave. And then there's just, like, this, like, this filter on it. Like a filter, like, on... Yeah, Instagram or something, like, but this is real life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's reading it, and I was in a bad space. And it goes, leave this house, for it is sick. And so I left, and I just went and walked around reading this Bible. And I'm hearing, it says, look over there, there's Joe's house. And then I hear, hello. So, like, I'm just walking around and just reading the Bible. I was just incredibly amazed at it.
Wow.
It was very...
So you had a hunger for God's word even before you even knew him.
It goes back even farther, too.
Wow.
Yeah. That was probably the second time that I wanted God's word. Because the first time, I was living in Newark. And I was on drugs. I was on a lot of acid. And I started thinking the cops were following me because I live with my plug. If you don't know what that is, that's a drug dealer. So I was living with him, and I would sell it to the people that I worked with and like their roommates. So my plug would go away on trips and stuff with his band and all this other thing, all these other things. And, So I pulled into this apartment complex where I was about to drop something off to a friend, I saw 8 cop cars out front of the neighborhood. And I said, there's, and it right in my mind, I was like, okay, they see my roommate going from someone's house 2 hours. They see me living there, driving it to this one spot every time I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they're following me.
Wow.
So they, I got paranoid, thought my house was bugged. Dude, I was just like, I called my dad. My dad got me out of everything.
Wow.
Shout out, Dad. You're the best. But so is Mom. Love my family. But yeah, so it was, so that happened. And it was like an, it was like a overnight change. I was like, Dad, I need to get out of here. Wow. He came up with a U-Haul, packed all my stuff in it, and I was gone.
That's crazy.
But guess what? It's crazier. I went back to it. I kept doing drugs. It didn't scare me.
Wow.
Didn't scare me. I've had some really crazy. So another story. Am I? Is this?
No, you go ahead. Okay? Yeah.
So another story. I drove to Louisiana from Delaware. It's a 19-hour drive with my buddy, and where I'm waking up and I hear him, I'm like, where are we? He's like, oh, cops. And I was like, no. We had weed in the car. We had edibles and all this stuff.
Wow.
And the cop walks up to our window and sees me with my dreads and my tie-dye shirt on. And he goes, I know there's drugs in here. This is very south. And I was like, oh. And my friend goes, well, I have no sense of smell. And I was like, bro. He thinks we're lying already. I was like, what is wrong with you? And so he asks my friend to get out of the car. He starts yelling at him, pulls his gun out, points it at my friend, says, get on the ground. All over an ounce of weed. And like, he goes, get away from the road. He goes, I can't. I'm on the ground. He goes, crawl. So he's crawling. He's like inching like an inchworm on the ground. And then he finally comes up to my door, opens it, points the gun in my face, and says, get on your knees. And I'm just, like, tired. I'm like, all right, is this almost over?
Wow.
I'm, like, not caring. And he was like, we went back to the station. They searched my car illegally, but this was kind of, like, I am the law type area.
Yeah.
And they're, like, we had our cell phones in the cell.
Yeah.
We're making Snapchat videos, like, yo, I'm with my celly. And
oh, wow.
We still got him somewhere. But yeah, so he took us to the police station, said he was going to charge both of us if I didn't come up with, like, if neither of us claimed it. So I was like, it's mine. And so I had to stay the night in this cell with my buddy. And it was so weird. They were like, well, we're going home for the day, so you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to leave. And I was like, oh. He can't wait an hour for me to go get the money wired to Walmart. And they're like, nope. So we slept in there that night, went to Walmart in the morning. My friend did, paid us, called my dad. Dad bailed me out again. My dad, I love my dad so much, man. He's really been there.
Yeah.
Through everything.
That's amazing.
I've put him through so much crap, but I love him.
Wow. So, I mean,
that's just another story.
Yeah. I mean, you got so many. I already know how it is.
And none of these things made me want to be like, yeah, I should be sober.
Yeah.
Until, like, it got terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when it got terrible, it didn't even cross my mind.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's good. Closer. Yeah.
Is it better now?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So from all that, I mean, you still got a lot more. We could go on for this. We could have like a whole segment called this Nick's story with Nick.
Yeah. Nick time stories.
Nick time. Yeah. But how about the transition? Like, what was that day like? What happened in that day? Like, do you remember the day that you first got sober?
Yeah, I think let me reflect on that. I'm pretty sure what happened was I woke up. I saw a text from my friend, and he started treating me more as a client than a friend.
Mm.
So I was like, all right, something's going wrong here. And I realized I was heavily on drugs and stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm, I got my hair and my beard was making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
So like I was like, I'm just gonna shave it all off. Yeah. And then I shaved it all off, and then I sent a picture to my grandmother, and she was like, she calls my dad. She's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "I don't know." And that's when I made the call.
Wow.
So that let that's is that answer your question?
Yeah. That's a point that you got sober. You said.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I got so yeah. So my dad came over like that day, and I was in my heart, I just knew I was done.
Yeah.
And like I know a lot. I've tried quitting cigarettes before. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah,
I had
it
a
is.
Harder time doing that. Yeah. Than
I heard a
drugs.
Lot of people would struggle with that. Yeah.
It's a yeah. darn nasty
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I think it was a godsend type thing, because
wow.
there was no withdrawal.
No.
None of that.
Nothing but God. Yeah.
Nothing but God.
Yeah.
I like looking back on
yeah.
it, that's who, at the time
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought, wow, this is
yeah.
really easy
yeah.
for me. And then when I shared my testimony,
yeah.
people reacted
yeah.
in a way. I was like, oh, that's not right.
Nah. Yeah.
I'm like, well,
yeah.
what is it usually
yeah.
like? And they're like, well, it don't look like that.
Nah.
Nobody quits it overnight.
No.
And
nothing but it has to be God.
It
yeah.
has to be God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way. Nah. So that's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, we almost done here, but I want you to like just to speak to people that may be struggling with addiction or struggling to change. Like, what is something that you would tell them?
I'd say if you want to change, the only person that can do it is yourself.
Mm.
You have to want it.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, I don't know about weaning yourself off
yeah.
like slowly. I'm sure that will help some people, but. Deep down in your heart, you know you're addicted.
Mm-hmm.
You just haven't admitted it. You
yeah.
haven't talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's help.
Yeah.
You can go to rehab. I believe those things
mm-hmm.
work. I know a girl that did get.
Yeah.
She's not saved
mm-hmm.
but like
yeah.
she's 9 years
yeah.
sober and
yeah.
it took a couple of tries.
Yeah.
And so like don't let my testimony scare you like,
yeah.
oh, it's only in God's hands.
Yeah.
Like it is in God's hands,
yeah.
don't get me wrong, but like
yeah.
you have to make
you
have willpower.
Yeah.
You have to have willpower to do
yeah.
it. And you have to have like that knowledge to you that you're not gonna do it.
Amen.
And all you gotta do is stick to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds so easy,
yeah.
but
I know
some people really struggle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the first step in recovery is to admit that you are powerless.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to admit that. You have to acknowledge that you don't have no control over it. And that you have a problem. That's the main thing to order to even have that recovery. So my last question I always ask my guests. This is the best question. Everybody has to be like deacon. if you could tell your 10-year-old, 11-year-old self this one set of advice, what would that be?
The only reason I laughed is because my uncle asked me to write a summary on
really
the same thing.
There you go.
Asked, this is for you, Uncle.
Yes. go ahead.
So, what I would tell my younger self is, it's not about trying to be cool. You should love who you are. I know at a teenage level or whatever, it's really hard to. You're lost, kinda, but you know what is right and you know what is wrong. Keep doing positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Follow God.
Yeah.
Go to church.
Yes.
Go to church and
yeah.
learn about Jesus
yeah.
and God and everything and how much
mm-hmm.
He loves you and He loves everybody.
Yeah.
And I would really highly recommend people to go to church
mm-hmm.
to bring their kids to church
yes.
at that age, because it's really crucial brains
yeah.
forming, and
mm-hmm.
you don't want them on drugs
mm-hmm.
while their brains forming.
Exactly.
Like, I suffer a lot through short-term memory
mm-hmm.
loss, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened on this thing.
Yeah,
but I would just say, if you think you have to do it to have friends, then just don't have those friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to church and make friends.
Yes.
Because looking at how my life has been impacted.
Mm.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
I hurt so many people, spent so much money.
Mm.
Could have, lots of things could have
mm.
been different. So what I would tell my younger self is, just keep your head straight.
Amen.
And go follow God.
Yes. Amen. That's amazing advice. I mean, I know people that are listening is pretty blessed from it's your testimony that's to say that how God was involved in your life, even you didn't even realize it,
exactly.
To now, and he get all the glory. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining me today.
Thank you, Richard.
I pray that God continue to use you and guide you in all your ways.
Thank you.
Thank you all for watching. Make sure to like button, make sure to subscribe, make sure to comment down below any other topics or people that you would like me to interview. And God bless you all. Peace.
Stop by grace.